In the past few years, society has seen an incredible rise in artificial intelligence technology, a development that has forced almost all fields to adapt while sparking global debate about the role of artificial intelligence in our lives. In late 2022, OpenAI released ChatGPT, a generative artificial intelligence tool that, as of August 2025, hit a benchmark of 700 million weekly users. As astutely noted by Stanford University's 2025 Artificial Intelligence Index Report, AI is rapidly moving from the lab to daily life. However, artificial intelligence is just the latest technological change that has led society to readjust our ways of living. In the past century, changes in telecommunications, media forms, transportation, agriculture, commuting, and health technology have redefined our systems and habits. In this podcast series, Control-Alt-Innovate, Perspectives on Technological Advancements, this UniHigh oral history project sets out to understand how the rise of new technologies have impacted our lives over the past century. From UniHigh, I'm Krishna Jaswal, a member of the class of 2027.
And I'm Lynn Lee, a member of the class of 2026.
This episode in our series, Moving, Growing, Healing, How Technology Has Changed the Fields of Daily Life, tells the story of how advancements in transportation, agriculture, and medical technology impacted Central Illinoisans. From the introduction of seatbelts in automobiles to the masses popularizing air travel, technological developments over the past century have pushed the transportation field to innovate and integrate itself into people's lives. The U.S. Census reports in recent data that 91.7% of U.S. households have a car. Today's automobiles look vastly different from the first automobile, the Benz patent motor wagon, created in 1886 by German mechanical engineer Carl Benz. His invention featured three wheels and was the first car powered by gasoline. Over the years, cars have become more important for day-to-day life and have gone through tremendous physical changes. According to the U.S. Bureau of Transportation, personal cars are the transportation of choice for Americans commuting to work today. Paula Kaufman, who worked at the University of Illinois as the Dean of Libraries and the University Librarian until she retired in 2013, recalls her memories of her family's car growing up in the 1950s.
Cars, they were big cars. They were very big, and they had fins in the back. They were really ugly. They were two-tone. So our DeSoto, which was really a precursor of the fins. It was a 1956 model, and it had small fins. It was white with green, dark green on the fins. It was very classy. Fins got much bigger in 1957. They're really awful looking. And we didn't have backup mirrors or side mirror blind spot indicators or any of that stuff. In fact, we only had one side mirror. You only had a driver's side mirror.
Cars also lacked many safety features in the mid-20th century that are now common today. For example, there were no seatbelts until a 1968 government mandate, or airbags, first required in 1998.
No seatbelts. There were really no restrictions on how many people you could have. In fact, my uncle had also had a pickup truck for his business. My mother's family was in the mattress-making business. We used to ride in the back without any kind of restraints as well. There were no booster seats, there were no airbags, and there were no seatbelts.
Central Illinois farmer Dennis Wanger recalls his memories of people wanting more safety measures in cars.
The vehicles weren't structured to protect you in a crash as well. And safety was a public concern because, you know, if you get in a wreck and you're in the hospital and you didn't have insurance, then the public's going to pay for, you know, fixing you up. So we all had a concern as to, you know, trying to make vehicles as safe as possible. And it wasn't easy to get for them to get seatbelts in, to get everything. So there's a lot of people who balked at that, said it's too much control. But I think that overall it's proven to be safer.
Alongside cars, air travel has also changed tremendously in the past century. According to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, 1955 was the first year more people in the United States traveled by air than by train. Urbana resident Margaret Lovell recalls her first flight experience, which took place on a propeller plane compared to today's passenger jets.
The first planes that I flew in were prop planes, propeller planes, and even if they were very, very long distance, so it's like I flew from Washington to D.C. to San Juan, Puerto Rico, in a prop plane. So they could go long distances, and they were very, very noisy. So underneath the wing, or usually underneath the wing, is this big circular tube, and all of the propulsion is happening inside. You're not seeing anything. A propeller-driven plane has the props, the propellers, sticking off the wings, usually out the front, when one way or another, out the front of the plane. Single engines have it right out the nose. And it's actually a propeller, which spins in the air and generates the lift and causes the plane to rise or fall.
Lovell recalls the change to passenger jets.
So then the jets, which came around, I probably flew in a jet the first time when I was maybe 13. Quieter, faster, smoother, and cool. But here are some other differences. We used to be able to walk out on the runway and climb the stairs and get on the plane with nobody checking us for anything. Never had to take your shoes off, never had anybody look in your bag. And you could just go to the airport and buy a ticket. You didn't have to plan ahead. You could just, oh, I want to fly to Pittsburgh today. So you would just go to the airport and say, I'd like a ticket to Pittsburgh. And they would sell you a ticket and they would take your bag and check it. That was checked back. And then you just literally walk out onto the runway. They didn't have walkways or anything like that. You would just go and get on the plane.
In the past, when air travel was a novelty, the culture of air travel was much more formal than the budget airlines of today. Champaign-Urbana residents Maria Gonzalo, Grant Henry, and Cope Cumpston share memories of flying in the 1950s and 60s.
At the time, people used to dress up to fly. It's not the casual way. You had to dress up like women wore dresses and men wore suits, and you know, it was very formal. They used to feed you meals no matter how short or long the flight was.
You wear a suit and a tie, but you go to the airport nowadays, you're flying nowadays, nothing like that. Nothing like that.
Flying today is awful. It is just the pits. Flying used to be really fun and a big adventure, and airports were elegant places where people were courteous and you weren't shoveled around like cattle in lines. The seats were very comfortable. You always got meals. You always got drinks. It was considered very elegant travel.
Technology has advanced the field of transportation, making it safer, more efficient, and more accessible. Just like transportation, agriculture has seen revolutionary advancements in the field within the last century, advancements led by technology. Following World War II, America went through an agriculture revolution, which saw the rise of science and technology implemented into the agriculture industry, with the hope of boosting efficiency and lowering the cost of production. Champaign-Urbana resident Ann Reisner grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin during the peak of the revolution, and witnessed firsthand the transition from traditional farming methods to modern technology. Just a few years before her birth, her father acquired one of the most significant innovations of the time, the tractor.
My dad made the switch, and it was probably in 1949. And at the time they made the switch, they never thought that horses would be replaced by tractors. They thought there'd always be horses on the farm to do some odd jobs.
Tractors allowed farmers to plow, plant, and harvest larger areas of land in less time, significantly increasing productivity and reducing physical labor. Reisner shares the game-changing nature of adopting tractor technology.
Reliable labor, faster, more efficient. At the time that we were introducing them, gas and oil was incredibly cheap. So it was a very acre by acre and bushel by bushel. It was a cheaper way to go. And having the control was not insignificant because that meant you could harvest on days where it was sunny, whereas when we were going around from farm to farm to farm, and there'd be about 10 farms or so, you had to, one, wait your turn, then wait your turn when it was sunny. So you could lose crops that way.
Before tractors and other machinery, domestic animals were used to accommodate the tough labor. Horses and oxen, commonly used on farms, provided much-needed help for hauling equipment, plowing fields, and transporting produce. However, injuries and stress from handling such strong animals created significant challenges. Dennis Wanger, a farmer from Fairbury, Illinois, who now works on the same farm where he grew up, comments on the dangers that came with using animals for labor.
It probably started with the horses. That was a danger just in itself. The horses could be attached to an implement that had a moving part, and if you were out trying to adjust something or work on it, and the horse decided to take a few steps, it would actually activate the movement of the machine.
Technological improvements in modern agriculture contributed significantly to making farming labor more comfortable and safer.
When I grew up, of course, there were no cabs on the farm tractors and the equipment. The first cab that I was in was about 68 or 70. We got a cab on a tractor, and of course, it made it more comfortable. It was safer. You were enclosed from the weather was the biggest help, especially cold weather. There's been a lot of electronic equipment installed in the machinery to make it more safe. They continue to add protective shields from live operating belts and chains. As far as the electronics, most all of the equipment, tractors or combines that you sit in, the seat you sit in has a safety switch. But when the machine is in the operating mode with the chains and belts turning or other devices, and when you raise up out of the seat within a short a few seconds, the operation of the machine stops. So that's the biggest help as far as preventing you from going out and getting your hands or something into a moving part. Agriculture still is one of the leading lists of injuries and deaths in work industry.
In addition to safety features, some of the most remarkable advances in crop production have been made possible through the use of computers. John Dudley, a professor emeritus in crop sciences at the University of Illinois, grew up on a farm in rural East Indiana and later spent his career as an academic focused on agriculture. After receiving his PhD in plant breeding and genetics from Iowa State University, he worked with the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Colorado on sugar beets, and then went to North Carolina to work on alfalfa. After that, he returned to the Midwest to work on the genetics of corn. He explains how modern technology has enabled him to process and analyze large amounts of data efficiently.
There are lots of important advances in agricultural technology. Well, you can divide them up. There were advances in technology for improving plants by breeding, and those had a major effect because, well, simple example, hybrid corn yields in Illinois were probably around 40 or 50 bushels per acre up until a couple of major advancements, and now we're up to 300 bushels per acre. That's six times as much corn from an acre ground as there was back when I started the business. And it's not my fault that we got there, but it's just part of the fact that corn breeding, a lot of technology advances. One of the major ones is computing power. We have so much computing power now that we didn't have back when I started. Well, I mean, it meant that I could do a lot more in terms of calculations. And for my research, that was a big deal because we dealt with a lot of numbers. And it made it a lot easier for me to communicate with people.
Dudley's career in plant breeding and genetics has given him a unique perspective on how technology has transformed agriculture. The impact of technology, however, extends beyond the lab and into the fields themselves, where modern machinery has changed the way farmers work.
The GPS on the farm is a big deal now because you go at the edge of the field, you put in the exact location where you're located, and you pull your tractor up with a 12-row or 24-row or 36-row planter, and basically you get in the cab and turn it loose, and it goes to the end of the field, and you turn around and head it back, and it takes over and drives you to the other end of the field. And, well, farmers, they're sitting in an air-conditioned cab with a television set probably and with a bunch of monitors. And I remember as a kid, I was driving a tractor sitting on a metal seat with no umbrella out in the sun, you know? So there have been huge changes for the better.
As technology continues to reshape agriculture, artificial intelligence is becoming increasingly prevalent in modern farming. Dennis Wanger explains how advanced technologies are already being used in the field and offers a glimpse into the future of farming.
a lot of systems on the machinery and stuff are monitored already. There's input put in there for the parameters of as you're combining the crop. You know, it might want, it's telling you the moisture of the crop, and it's recommending you to slow down or to speed up. We do have now offered driverless auger carts to unload our combines, so it can be a conventional tractor sitting in the field. And with the technology, you can tell it to come to the combine. It knows how to take a path through the field that won't run through the standing crop. It'll come to the combine, allow you to unload the grain on it on the go, and then we'll go back to a base station all on its own, but it's got parameters set up.
While AI offers exciting tools to improve efficiency and decision-making, it also raises important questions about how much control should be handed over to technology.
AI, and I'm not an expert on AI, I do understand the basics of it. AI to a farmer, is he's always looking for a new tool, a better tool, and I think in most cases that's the way we have to look at that as a tool. The AI, the limitations of it, you hate to say you're going to limit the ability to use a tool, but it still is going to take a human being to be involved with the input into the AI product, and it's going to have to be monitored, and it's going to have to take a group of people. I think there's no one person or small group of people that can make decisions on that. If we just really try to use it as a tool, but not let it control us, and figure out how to make sure that we moderate it and keep limitations on it.
Not all changes are purely technical, with social factors playing significant roles within the agriculture industry. While the benefits were significant, they also came with the decline of small family farms to industrial powers. In the past, farming relied on teamwork and support, with communities coming together for larger tasks like planting and harvesting. But with the rise of modern technology, it is easier to complete tasks individually, and there is not a constant need for peer support, changing the social side of rural life. Anne Reisner reflects on the social dynamics of farming before and after the rise of advanced machinery.
The thing I remember as a real young'un was threshing parties. Now, these are when 10 or 12 men and their sons would get together and go from farm to farm and thresh the hay or the oats. It was usually oats. And that was a big deal. And it was neat. You had all the neighbors get together, and the house that people were threshing in was the one that provided all the food, so you'd have this big eating thing in the middle of the day. You learned really how to get along with people. We finally went to a combine to do it. That would have been when maybe 1960. My dad definitely preferred to have the combine, which he could control. We lost a lot of socialization face-to-face.
Agriculture technology has transformed farming, making it safer, more efficient, and more sustainable. These advancements have revolutionized productivity, improving lives across the industry. Farming has also become safer, reducing physical risks farmers have to take.
Just like agriculture has been dramatically transformed by technology, so has the healthcare field. From the first X-ray in 1895 to the first MRI in 1977, these new inventions have completely changed how we find and treat health problems. Medical imaging has become more accurate and has given doctors a chance to get a better look inside the body. This technology continues to push the boundaries of what medicine can achieve. Keith Kelly, professor emeritus of immunophysiology at the University of Illinois, recalls one breakthrough in his lifetime: the discovery of cytokines, small proteins that help cells communicate within the immune system. Their identification transformed how scientists understand and treat diseases.
We have technology today that could just be imagined 20 years ago. For example, a little bit of science. There are proteins in the blood called cytokines. These are made by many cells, but mostly by cells of the immune system. And it wasn't until 1976, 77, that the very first cytokine called interleukin-1, intercommunication between leukocytes, was discovered. All of us were doing biomedical research at that time in 1976. Today, there are 37 of those cytokines that are known. And to think how we did research in the 1980s without knowing about the existence of these 37 molecules was just incomprehensible. And then, of course, with DNA sequencing technology, we have access to many, many proteins and compounds that we couldn't even imagine 30 years ago.
also in Kelly's lifetime, medical tests have become more efficient.
In terms of the physical exam, it's the same. What's changed is the technology for tests, all kinds of blood tests. In terms of what they can do with your blood sample or urine sample, it's much, much, much greater and much better. And I can give you an example. I had a blood test 2 days ago. About 8 tests were run. Within 10 minutes, I got what's called a CBC, cell blood count. I got it back in about 30 minutes. And I have all results of all 8 of those tests back within 24 hours.
Similar to Kelly, Champaign resident Maria Gonzalo shares how fast getting test results back have gone in recent years.
A while back, I was having heartbeat problems. Before, you had to make an appointment to go to have a machine check your heart. And now they have it right there at Carle. They just hook you up and test you. The results are there, and it's amazing that they can tell right away whether it's a problem or not.
Wearable technology, such as the Apple Watch, which debuted in 2015, have also become standard part of personal health care. These devices track vital signs. Gonzalo shares how she relies on her Apple Watch for continuous health monitoring.
Medically, it keeps track of my heartbeat. It keeps track of whether there's any abnormalities in the heartbeat. It wakes me up if something's wrong. My heartbeat goes lower than normal, it wakes me up. If I fall, calls 911.
In addition to advancements in diagnostics and wearable technology, Kelly, born in 1947, recalls changes in how labor delivery protocols have changed during his lifetime. In the United States, it wasn't until the late 1960s and early 1970s that hospitals began allowing fathers to be present for childbirth, creating a more inclusive birthing experience.
I remember when my siblings were born, my father certainly could not be in the delivery room and could only be there a few hours after the child was born. And the siblings, like me, we couldn't even go to the hospital to get in the room to see our new sibling. And that's to be contrasted with today where when our daughter was born at Carle, I was in the delivery room the whole time. And that was really gratifying to see our daughter born.
Innovations in the medical field have transformed healthcare, expanding possibilities for diagnosing and managing diseases. Urbana resident Cope Cumston recalls a life-changing surgery she underwent in her youth.
I had scoliosis as a teenager, and I had a spinal fusion, and that changed my life. I would have gotten hunched over, and I would have been crippled, and so that made a huge difference.
Another advancement during the lifetime of interviewees have been vaccine availability. John Dudley, professor emeritus in crop sciences at the University of Illinois, reflects on two important vaccines developed in his lifetime. The polio vaccine, created in 1955 by Jonas Salk, aimed at eradicating polio, and COVID-19 vaccine, created in record time in 2020 during a global pandemic.
Oh, there are all sorts of vaccines. I mean, all the vaccines for young kids now were developed then. The one that strikes me was a vaccine for polio, because there were two vaccines developed, and one of them was tried, and there was a problem with it. But it took years to develop a vaccine. And the remarkable thing about the COVID vaccine was how quickly scientists were able to develop a vaccine and get it distributed.
Breakthroughs that seemed impossible in previous generations have led to treatments for life-threatening conditions. Cumston shares a perspective on how medical technology has transformed many lives.
We treat a lot of things that were not even understood just a few generations ago. The medicine that saves people with serious diseases impacts me tremendously, because friends who've come through cancer, friends who've come through COVID, friends who've come through HIV, people surviving, you know, babies surviving that would not have without the technology that there is in medicine now.
As these technologies advance, artificial intelligence is also making its way into healthcare. AI has shown promise, particularly in diagnosing diseases. Some experts warn not to rely on it too much because, despite having some beneficial features, there are also certain risks. Recent technologies show us exactly how powerful AI is becoming in medicine. One example of this can be seen with the AI-led stethoscope developed by researchers in the UK, which can detect major heart conditions such as heart failure, heart valve diseases, and irregular rhythms in just 15 seconds. The AI has shown higher accuracy and diagnostic ability compared to traditional tools. Hospitals are also using AI to help administrative burdens. Microsoft Dragon Copilot assists doctors by automatically transcribing notes, summarizing clinical evidence, and even helps create after-visit summaries, which allows physicians to spend more time with patients. But these advances in AI can come with risks. Accuracy is never perfect, there can be privacy concerns, and an over-reliance on AI. From innovations in healthcare, farming techniques, and transportation, technology has revolutionized the way we live, work, travel, and care for ourselves and others. It is clear our innovation will continue to drive technological developments in all three fields. Thank you for listening to Moving, Growing, Healing, How Technology Has Changed Fields of Daily Life, an episode in the series, Control, Alt, Innovate, Perspectives on Technological Advancements, a student-produced podcast by Uni High's Oral History Project team. All interviews featured in this podcast were conducted in spring 2024 by Uni's 8th grade class. If you'd like to listen to previous episodes, check out the WILL website at will.illinois.edu/IllinoisYouthMedia.